2 Kings chapter 4. I referred to this passage earlier, so we want to read the word there. 2 Kings 4 and verse 18. 2 Kings chapter 4 and the verse 18. Let us hear God's word. And when the child was grown, it fell in a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon, sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If I meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet them, and told them, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. And the Lord will bless the reading of his own infallible truth. Our Father, we wait on before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we are in thy house, that we're in thy presence, and we thank thee that it is the privilege of all of us here to gather in this fashion and wait before thee and give our minds and our attention for a season to all that has been presented and now to the word that will be preached. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak and thou wilt move among us. Lord, settle us in thy presence. Give even to the youngest child that subdued heart. Lord, we pray that thou wilt govern our meeting by thy mighty hand and by thy gracious presence. We pray for those among us who need the Lord. O God and Father, speak to such, we pray, and bless us now together in Jesus' name and for his sake and for his glory. Amen and amen. Let's open your Bible, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4, where we read earlier, 2 Kings chapter 4, and the verse 26. My text is found in this verse, where we have recorded for us the response of the woman of whom inquiry was made concerning the welfare of her household. She was asked, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And to that inquiry, she gave the response, "It is well." We are not given the name of this woman, this wife and mother. The only identification that is supplied is that she was a Shunammite, because she was of a place called Shunem, place that lay on the road between Mount Carmel and the city of Samaria. And it was on that road that Elisha often travelled, for he was, of course, the successor of Elijah, and he was frequently found ministering in that northern area of the land, and therefore was often found on the road between Samaria and Carmel, and in doing so he passed through that place called Shunem. And due to his constant passing by the house of this lady and her husband, they came to know him, and they came to appreciate the ministry that he had toward them even, as well as to all others, no doubt, in that part of the land. And they came to know Elisha as a man of God. And it was through Elisha's spiritual intervention in prayer and in the mighty power of the Spirit that was upon him that this couple were given a child when it seemed utterly impossible for them to have a child, and therefore there was no doubt great rejoicing in that home when this boy was born. And the narrative here would indicate that that little boy was especially the delight of his mother and was the object of her tender care and her love in his early years. But as we have seen tonight in our reading, there came a day when that little boy suddenly became very ill and swiftly was taken away from his house and his home and his parents, no doubt plunging them into deep sorrow and vexation of heart, and again especially plunging his mother into a period of awful distress. But when she sought out the intervention of Elisha, the man of God, and the question was put to her, "Is it well with the child?" her answer was, plainly and simply, "It is well." Now, when we think carefully about her response, it will be noticed right away that she was speaking of things that pertain to the soul when she said, "It is well." Remember that her child was dead, swiftly cut down by some great and sore illness. And therefore, in the realm of things physical, it most certainly was not well with regard to that family, and especially with regard to her little boy. And therefore, when she gave that answer, "It is well," the plain inference is that she was speaking of spiritual matters, and she was speaking of the spiritual realm when she said, "It is well," teaching us that there's actually nothing more vital than the spiritual well-being of the individual, either with regard to our little ones or ourselves. Now, the Shunammites' words raise a very, very serious issue for every person in this gathering this evening, young or old. You must face the issue of the spiritual welfare of your soul. You must consider seriously this personal question: is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? We find in this text that the father is addressed, the mother is addressed, and the child is addressed. But listen to those words, "Is it well with thee?" Remember that the question has to do with the soul, with its spiritual state, its spiritual well-being. And therefore, my friend, do not rest until you are able to say, "It is well." Is it well with you? Is it well with you? May your answer tonight be, if you can't say it now, honestly before God, but may your answer be before this night or this meeting is out, that it is indeed well with my soul. I want you to see from this text, to begin with, that all is well with the soul in death when that soul is at peace with God. All is well with the soul in death, because this was a question that had to do with the death of that child and those circumstances that suddenly had developed in that home. And therefore we may say, as we think carefully about this text, that it is well with the soul in death when the soul is at peace with God. You see, the word that is used here, the word "well," is a word that actually means peace. The Hebrew word that is translated well is one that many, many people in this gathering will know. And I am very sure of that, because it is the Hebrew word shalom. And it means peace. And therefore the question really was, is it peace with thee? It had to do with the soul. It had to do with spiritual matters. It had to do with the soul facing death and entering into death and even what is beyond death. And the mother could answer, "It is peace." And she was speaking of her child. She was speaking of that little boy when she said that. She was able to say with absolute certainty that concerning him, it was indeed well. It was peace with his soul. Now that child's well-being, spiritually speaking, and the peace of soul that he knew as he entered out into death and into God's eternity, was a peace that could be traced right back to the influence of his own dear mother. We learn in this chapter, part of which we didn't read, but we learn in this chapter that this woman is referred to back in verse 8 as a great woman. And it refers to her spiritual greatness, to her godliness, to her holiness of life, and to her desire after the things of God. And when you read down through these verses of this glorious chapter, you will find point after point springing out of the sacred narrative as a reminder of the godliness and the holiness of this woman. And I'm saying to you tonight that because she was the woman that she was, and because therefore of the influence that she undoubtedly had on her little son, she was able to say when he died, "It is well, it is peace with him." It could be traced back to his mother. For example, if you look with me, you will find that she was a woman of spiritual perception. There in verse 9, it says, "She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God that passeth by us continually." Notice here her perception of the holy, godly character of Elisha, as opposed, and this is by inference, but it's really there, as opposed to the wicked character of the false prophets who still abounded in the land. She said to her husband, "Listen, husband, I can see that this is a holy man of God." And she's inferring that he was not like the rest of the prophets who teemed through the land. She was a woman, therefore, who was able to discern the things of God. She had spiritual perception. And that greatly influenced her son, no doubt. If you go down with me to verse 23, you'll notice something that's really incidental in the narrative, but it gives us an awful lot of information. Look at verse 23. The question of her husband. And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today?" She has told her husband, "Saddle the ass. I want to run to the man of God." I firmly believe her husband may not even have been saved.
because he seemed to have no spiritual interest whatsoever. And he asked her the question, why are you going today? But look at the rest of the question. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Now what's the inference there? Here was a woman who was accustomed to going and sitting under the ministry of the man of God on the Sabbath days and at the feasts of the Lord. The inference of verse 23 and the question of her husband actually is very, very clear, that she sat in regular attendance on the ministry of Elisha on those days when he would have preached the word, the Sabbath day and the feast days. And therefore, there's no doubt that she'd have taken her little boy with her. A woman with great spiritual perception. She saw he was a man of God. She aligned herself with his ministry. She took herself and no doubt her son to sit under the preaching and the teaching of this man, Elisha. She made sure that her little boy was exposed to a faithful ministry in which there would have been a faithful presentation of the Word of God and indeed the whole scheme of God with regard to salvation. Notice there the reference to the new moon. What is that? That's one of the ceremonial feasts. And in the ceremonial feast there was a clear presentation of Christ and the cross and the way of salvation. And therefore when this child was suddenly taken away, she could say that all was well with him. He was at peace because in a short life she had shielded him from false prophets and put him under the ministry of a faithful prophet. And undoubtedly through that, he was brought to know her God. He was brought to trust in her Savior. And when he came to die, all was well with his soul. Her spiritual perception. Her spiritual interests. Look at verse 10. Notice this detail about this woman. She said in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. It shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. She provided for the needs of the man of God, and in that way she supported his ministry. And what was she really revealing when she did that? When she made this suggestion, let's make a room for the man of God. Let's provide for his shelter and his comfort when he's on his journeys. What did she really show by that? That she had an interest in spiritual things. She wanted to promote the ministry of God's servant. And she would have instilled that into the heart of her little boy. How can we sum it up? She was showing that child when he would have been born that by her interest in the things of God, he should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's a woman who had no interest at all in the things of the world. A woman with spiritual perception, a woman with spiritual interests. And if you look with me at verse 13, here was a woman with spiritual humility. In verse 13, Elisha said unto the king, Elisha said to this woman, would she like to be mentioned to the king or to the captain of the host? That's in this verse. Look at her answer at the end of that verse. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. There's her humility. She was quite content to dwell in her own humble circumstances. She had no desire for worldly greatness, in other words, or worldly promotion. She obviously saw that those things were transient and passing, and soon all that could be given to her by way of worldly advancement, it would all soon pass away. And therefore, here's a woman who had her eye on those things that really last. She didn't want the promotion of a king or a captain of the host. She wanted to live for God. She wanted to live for those things that will never pass away. That kingdom that will know no end. That was her heart's desire. That was her heart's longing. And there again is no doubt that she would infuse that into her son's heart, because we're told it was well with him when he came to die. Now bring this all together, men and women, and think about it this way. What a privilege that lad had to have a godly mother. Because it was well with him in death, due to the influence and the spiritual desires of his own dear mother. As I have briefly outlined these points for you, her spiritual perception, her spiritual interests, her spiritual humility. She was a woman who lived for God, a woman who lived only for God's glory and for the world to come. And this old world meant nothing to her. And therefore, when her little boy was taken away in death, oh, how true it was that it was well with him, because his mother had made sure that he knew the true God and he knew the way of salvation. And when he came to die, he went into God's presence and all was peace and all was well with his soul. There are so many ways of applying that point that I've just been making. Let me ask you who are parents tonight. Are you leaving with your children the influence that that woman left with her son, or placed upon her son, that led him to the point where he knew God and all was peace and all was well when he came to die? Is that the influence you are bringing to bear upon your family, upon your children, upon your seed as they grow up in a dark and sinful world? Oh, what a privilege it is to turn it the other way round to our young people tonight. You have a godly mother. You have a godly father. They have brought you up in the ways of the Lord. They have trained you and taught you and shown you the way of salvation. Why is it then that you heed not their counsel and their word and their advice? Why is it then that you go your own way, that you go the way of the world? Why is it that as you watch your godly parent, his or her desire after God, after truth, after real things, that is, lasting things, spiritual things, that you're found going the way of the world, the way of the flesh? You see, my friend, all was well with that woman. She herself was right with God. And therefore she was able to lead her child to know the true God. She was a saved woman. She was a godly woman. And therefore she led her dear son in the same direction. And when he came to die, it was well with him because of his mother's own testimony. We know that. And I ask you the question tonight. Is it well with you? In the light of all the privileges that you've had, a godly father, a godly mother, a godly Sunday school teacher, or whoever you want to mention, is it well with you? When you come to die, as you will you die in peace? Will you die and go into God's eternity and be with him forever? At peace forevermore. You see, my friend, as I have shown you tonight, it's only well with the soul in death when that soul is at peace with God. And there's only one way to be at peace with God, and that's through the work of his own dear son. Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and through faith in the work that he has done and he has wrought out at Calvary for the souls of those who trust him. And you will have no peace, either in life or in death, until you come and embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Redeemer. It was well with the child because he died in the Lord. He died at peace with God. Now, will that be your death? Father or mother, young person, boy or girl, if you were to pass away tonight, would it be well with your soul? You need to face that question and realize the only way to die well and die at peace is when you die in Christ, when your soul is at peace with God. And notice as well from these words that all is well with the soul in death, or that when all is well with the soul in death, there's no sting in death. You see, not only did she answer it as well concerning her little boy, but she answered it as well with regard to herself. She had peace in the situation. Now, her child has just died, suddenly wrested away from her. But she can say it as well, not only with regard to him. He has died, he's gone to be with the Lord. She knows that. But in her own heart, there's peace. And there's a reason why there was peace. In other words, there's a reason why there was no sting in her son's death. And it's this. She believed that he would rise again. Now, of course, that happened quite literally here. Just that very same day or thereabouts when he had passed away. But sometime you read Hebrews 11 and the verse 35. And there it says, women received their dead raised to life again. And it says there, by faith, they received their dead raised to life again. And this is one of those women of whom Paul writes there in Hebrews 11. And we're told very clearly that the woman of Shunem actually believed that her son would rise again. Why did she send for the man of God? Why did she go to him? Why did she bring her need before him? Simply because she believed that he could bring again from the dead her little boy. And of course, that's actually what happened. And that meant that there was no sting in this death because of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of that child. Now, translate that into the wider realm. You and I, my friend, are not going to see such miracles as this. But let me tell you something. When we are absolutely sure that we or our children can come to death and be at peace with God, there's no sting there for you. And there is the sure hope of the resurrection unto everlasting life. And that indeed is a glorious comfort for all who are the people of God. And the point is absolutely clear, therefore. The gospel removes death's sting and gives a sure hope for the future. Now, we read this throughout the scriptures, and we're seeing it here tonight. Here's a woman who can say, it is well, I have peace about this whole matter, because I believe that God will raise my child, and he did that. Oh, there are parents here tonight, and your little ones, your children, some of you who have had children die, you can look forward to seeing them again, and there's no sting in the death, because you'll be reunited with them. And you'll see them again. And what a comfort that is. And my friend, only the gospel can do that. And may I bring it right home to you personally, who sit here tonight, who are not saved, who are not right with God. And the question is it well with thee? And as we trace that question out and extend its thought to this point, are we not seeing very clearly that if it's not well with you now, it will not be well with you at death, and it will not be well with you in eternity, because you will come to face death and its horrible sting will most certainly be there. The sting of death is sin. As Paul tells in 1 Corinthians 15, the strength of sin is the law. Do you know what that means? Why is there a sting in death? Because sin is the violation of God's law. And when we come to deal with sin in our souls and our spiritual standing, there's not one of us here tonight, young or old, who is exempt from this awful sting, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear man, you've broken God's law, you've broken God's word. And therefore, the sting of death is strengthened by the fact that the law demands your eternal ruin. That's the sting of death. The law has inflicted a penalty of everlasting punishment and eternal ruin. And therefore, when you come to die, as you certainly will, and you face death, as you certainly will, and you face it in your sin, unsaved, without Christ, you will face death, my friend, with no hope. You'll face death with all its terrible sting. You'll face death with the curse of God over your soul, and the curse of a holy law bringing upon your very being at the moment of death, commissioned to the flames of everlasting hell. And as you die in your sin without Jesus Christ, and then face eternity without Christ, still in your sin, oh, the sting of all that, the sting of eternal judgment. Woe unto the wicked, Isaiah says, it shall be ill with him. You see, it's not well with you right now because you're not saved. You are yet in your sin. You continue that way, it will not be well with you when you come to die. And it will not be well with you after you've died. These are simple, plain, biblical points. Is it well with thee, therefore? Most certainly not. You're yet in your sin. You have lived without God. You're facing eternity. You're still a rebel and a sinner. You still continue on your own way. You haven't rested in Christ or repented of your sin. Therefore, my friend, it's far from well with you. And you continue that way, and you come to the last great confrontation that every one of us will have in this life. And you face death, and you face eternity. And it's not well with your soul. You leave this world. You leave it, my friend, to perish forever under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God. Young people, you need to pay heed to this. Growing up under gospel preaching and gospel teaching, but it's not well with your soul. Parent, mother, father, it's not well with your soul. You're lost. You're without hope. But if you will come to Christ and you will trust in Him, it will be well with your soul. Then it will be peace. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you receive Him as your Savior and turn away from your sin? That might be well with you. I pray that you will. I pray that God will speak to your soul and deal with your heart. And may you be able to say, it is well. Let's bow together, please. Before the Lord at the end of our meeting, let's all unite our hearts in prayer. Let's just be quiet and still for a moment or two. We have heard God's word. We have been in His presence. And there may be one here, young or old, and to you God has spoken. And you know full well that it's not well with your soul, because you're yet in your sin and you're living for the world. You're lost. You need to be saved. And you know that fine well. My dear friend, has God spoken to you tonight and you're troubled and anxious now about these matters? Go to Christ. Go at once to the Savior and trust Him for yourself, turning away from all your sin. May you do that tonight. And if I may be of help to anyone with regard to these matters, it will be my joy to speak with you at the end of the meeting and help you to make your need known as you leave. Come back and see me. Get in touch. May the Lord write His word in your heart. And may it be well with you. Heavenly Father, take Thy word, we pray, write it on each soul for Thy glory. And O God and Father, when the human voice has fallen silent, we pray that the Lord's voice will still be heard. And may this question ring in the ears of many a sinner. Is it well with Thee? And O God, may they give an honest answer. And by Thy grace, may they be able to say eventually, it is well. O Father, speak to our young and speak to our old. Do that work that only God can do. Lord, bring glory to Your own great name. Hear us, abide with us, bless us tonight. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with every believer, both tonight and forever. We pray in the Savior's name. And for the Savior's sake. Amen. Amen.